Well, good morning once again. It is just so good to be here, not only because it's my first Sunday here, but because it's Palm Sunday, and that is a good Sunday to celebrate and be in church and be in community with one another. So thank you for being here as well. I'm curious if we have many baseball players out there. I am not much of a baseball player, although I have enjoyed church softball from time to time. But I remember several years ago now, I had a family vacation with my wife's side of the family. We went to the beaches on the Florida Panhandle, if you've ever been there before. Absolutely stunning and beautiful. Sarah has a younger brother who at that time was in high school, and he had just made the baseball team. And so he came to me at one point and said, "David, let's go play catch on the beach." I said, "That sounds great." I was looking for an opportunity to get to know him and spend some time with him. So I said, "Yeah, let's go down to the beach and play catch." And so we were playing catch and we were talking and enjoying one another, and it was a really good time. And then he said, "Hey, David, guess what? My coach has asked me to be a pitcher. Do you mind if I try out some of my pitches on you?" I said, "I'm trying to be cool to the nice brother-in-law." And I said, "Yeah, that sounds great." And so I kind of get into the catching stance, you know, and he starts winding up and he starts with his fastball. And he's just throwing them as fast as he can. He's a pretty athletic high school student, and so they're coming fast. And I'm catching them. They're kind of hurting my hand, and they're coming hard, but I'm trying to get him not to notice, right? Because, again, I'm tough. I'm enjoying this conversation, and he's throwing them. I'm catching them. And then he throws one, and I'm watching it come, and I'm ready for it to hit my glove, and instead it hits me right in the chest. Directly here. I stand up, almost had the wind knocked down me. I'm startled, didn't really know what to happen, but I'm trying to keep some sense of pride. And I said, "Sam," kind of chuckling, "what happened on that one?" And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, David. I tried out my curveball and I forgot to tell you." That was hilarious to me, because if he would have told me that he was going to try out the curveball, well, I could have been ready for it. If you know the curveball's coming, then you can kind of adjust your glove and be ready when the curve starts. But if you don't know that the curveball is coming, then you are just helpless to adapt once that curve actually comes. It got me thinking that life can be like that sometimes, can't it? We don't always see the curveballs of life coming either, where sometimes you expect something to happen a certain way and instead happens a different way. In fact, if you are one of those who likes to follow along with an outline or take notes of the sermon, we're going to get a question for the screen, and I want you to begin thinking about this question as we begin this morning. What has been a recent curveball in your life? What has been an event where you expected it to go one way and were surprised when it went another? And if you're someone who doesn't particularly like change or surprises, the curveballs of life can be especially frustrating. As I was thinking this week in the office about what examples of curveballs could be, I thought of a few. Sometimes an illness that you don't see coming comes into your life. You're expecting to go and have plans, and then all of a sudden you find yourself recovering instead. That illness has come like a curveball. Or sometimes a transition in your job catches you by surprise. You've got your career track, you think you're heading one way, and all of a sudden you're relocating or having to do a different position. Or sometimes in a relationship, you think the relationship is going to go one direction, and it goes in another instead, and you find that that is a curveball. Life is full of curveballs. But luckily, we're not the only ones who deal with this sort of thing. You see, back in Jesus' day, they also were surprised by unexpected events and had to adapt to things happening as well. In fact, the story we read this morning, the story on Palm Sunday, is one of those experiences. Now, if you've grown up in the church or if you've been to church quite a bit, you know this Sunday because we read some variation of this story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem every single year. We read it because it's an important story. It's Jesus coming into Jerusalem for the last week of his life. And yet, the crowds, the people who were waiting for Jesus, and who probably for the several years prior had been seeing Jesus teach and preach and do miracles, these people were expecting Jesus to do something in particular when he came to Jerusalem. And instead, Jesus surprised them. Jesus came not as expected. And so in our scripture today, we're going to read this story, and I want you to pay particular attention to how Jesus' arrival surprised the people. You can follow along on the screen as we go through our scripture. It becomes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 21. It starts in this way. It says, when they, meaning Jesus and his disciples, when they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. How fun would it have been to be a disciple of Jesus? I mean, he's always keeping you on your toes, right? Can you put yourself in the place of these two disciples for a moment? Jesus says, listen, there's a little village up ahead. I want you to go there, and when you walk in, don't pay attention to the busy streets or lots of people. No, you're going to find a horse tied up with a donkey. And when you see those things, I want you to take them and bring them to me. And if anyone tries to give you a hard time, I can imagine Jesus saying, I have a line for you. Just say, the Lord needs them. I mean, what would you be thinking if you were one of these disciples? Would you be thinking, Jesus, you're going to get me thrown in jail. You can't just steal people's livestock. I mean, that doesn't come cheap. And yet, these disciples, I mean, they've been following Jesus for years, and he's always keeping them on their toes. Well, Matthew was one of those disciples, and he's writing about what happened that day. And Matthew, if you've read that gospel before, he's always trying to look back to the Old Testament to tell you, hey, this is why Jesus was doing it this way. And he does that in this scripture as well. Our next verse in verse 4, Matthew's taking a look back to say why the events happened that way. Verse 4, he says, this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this is actually a paraphrase that Matthew is taking from the prophet of Zechariah. And when Matthew saw this happening, it's like he's telling his readers, look, that's what Jesus was doing. That's why Jesus is doing it this way. Well, the disciples, well, they follow Jesus. In verse 6, it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So these crowds see Jesus coming, and they get excited because they know what Jesus' arrival means. And so as Jesus and his disciples are walking down this road to Jerusalem, they begin taking off their cloaks and their coats and their jackets and lying them in the road before Jesus. And then some people begin cutting branches off the trees, getting palms like we have today, and putting those in the road before Jesus. And if you've come to church most of your life, you don't bat an eye at that. But if this is one of your first times here, or if you've not been to church very much growing up, you're probably thinking, that's very strange. Why would they be taking off their cloaks and cutting down tree branches and putting that in front of Jesus? I mean, if you saw a famous person driving down the road today and you began putting clothing and tree branches in the road, you would be getting in trouble. That's not the right approach. And yet, in Jesus' day, this was how you welcomed a king. In fact, there's kind of a fun story from the Old Testament, from 2 Kings, when Israel decides to announce a new king. His name was Jehu. And as soon as they do, as they pronounce Jehu king, they say everyone in the room takes off their coats and begins lining the floor in front of him as he walks down the steps to honor the new king. This is what they were doing with Jesus. They see Jesus coming. They know he's the coming king, and they want to honor him and who he is. They are preparing the way. And not only are they laying their cloaks down and putting their branches there, but in verse 9, we're told this. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna is a way of saying salvation is here. You see, they saw Jesus as a coming king, But they saw him as more than that as well. They saw him as the coming Messiah. They saw him as a Savior. They saw Jesus and said, salvation is here. Jesus will save us. And then in verse 10, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The whole city is anticipating Jesus' arrival. So that's our scripture for the day. And as we study the scripture for the day, I really have one question that I want you to think about and reflect on. And the question is this. How do we get from the hosannas on Palm Sunday to then on Good Friday of this coming week, Jesus being crucified on a cross? Or to put it another way, and we'll get this on the screen, how do we get from the crowds in Matthew 21 shouting Hosanna to the crowds in Matthew 27 shouting crucify him? That doesn't make sense, does it? That's abrupt. That is a big change from the welcome, joyful Palm Sunday to what happens on Good Friday. You see, we're entering a week right now called Holy Week. It's the last week remembering the last weeks of Jesus' life. And so, as Tricia mentioned earlier, this coming Thursday, you can come to church and we will remember Maundy Thursday. This is a time when Jesus had his last supper with his disciples and gave them one final commandment. And then this coming Friday is Good Friday. It is a day when we remember when Jesus was arrested and when Jesus was crucified on a cross. And the question that we ask today as we look towards those events is, how do you get from Hosanna to crucify him? Well, simply put, Jesus was not the type of king that the people expected. Jesus was a curveball for his people. Jesus was not the type of king they wanted or thought that they were going to get. He did not live up to their expectations. Now, I want to spend a moment studying why. Why did Jesus not fit their expectations of who the coming king and Messiah would be? And to do that, can we get back to verse 9 for just a second? I want you to notice something that the crowd yelled towards Jesus. The crowd yells, Hosanna to the Son of David. You see how they're linking Jesus' arrival with King David. Now I'm going to give you just a very, very quick history lesson on the people of Israel. If you like history, you'll like this. If you don't, just zone out for a minute and then I'll bring you back. No worries. But basically, King David, when King David was king, it was the high point of the nation of Israel. This is when everything was going well in their country. They had an army that seemed unstoppable. They were building a new temple. These were the glory days for the nation of Israel. But we know, if you know a little bit about Israel, you know that did not last. And at some point, several hundred years later, they became enslaved and taken over and put into exile. And so where our story picks up today, they are still in that point of exile. But they're looking for the future. And they're looking towards the promised king or Messiah that God will one day send. And so they see Jesus. They see his teachings and preachings and miracles. And the crowd goes, he must be it. He must be the coming king, the Son of David, the Messiah that God has sent. But then when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, he does not live up to these same expectations. I'm going to lift up a couple of differences for you about differences they saw between traditional kings and how Jesus came. There's many more that you can probably study and find in the Bible, but these are an example of the differences between Jesus and a traditional king. The first one would be this. On the same road that Jesus rode in on was the road that kings after a victorious battle would also ride in on. Except a traditional king would have a full processional, right? They'd be on a giant steed. They would be on a valiant horse so everyone could see how important they were. How did Jesus come into Jerusalem? Well, Jesus enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Or as Zechariah reminded us earlier, Jesus came in humbly. That's not exactly what they were expecting. Or way number two, kings would have servants taking care of them, and they would probably be all around the king in some sort of entourage. But Jesus then was heard saying things like, the first will be last, and then was seen washing his disciples' feet. Or the third way I thought of, a king would have come accompanied by an army, ready to take back the promised land from Roman occupation. But then Jesus said things like, all who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then, in fact, lets himself be killed on a cross just a couple days later. Jesus came in an unexpected way for his people. And if we're being honest with ourselves, God does not always come into our lives as we expect God to come either, does he? I wonder if you can relate to the crowds of this story, the crowds of Palm Sunday. I mean, there are parts of our lives where we can sing Hosanna, we can scream it out loud, where we have faith that can move mountains. But then there are other parts of our lives that don't like being told what to do by Jesus. That there are parts of Jesus' message that no doubt make us uncomfortable. There are probably things that Jesus says that pushes us outside of our comfort zone. There are some things in Scripture I bet we wish weren't there. Jesus has not come exactly as we would expect Jesus to come either. And it makes me wonder if we're really that different from the crowd. And I bet we're not. Which means that we can learn from the crowd and what they went through. And so I'd like to lift up just two things that you can take away today that we can learn from this Palm Sunday story and take into our own faith and spiritual lives. We'll get them on the screen. The first one is this. Be open to the unexpected ways that God may work in your life. Because God often comes in unexpected ways. Now, I get it. Faith would be so much easier if we knew exactly what God was going to do at all times. But that wouldn't really be faith, would it? No, we have faith in a God that's active, active in the world and active in your life as well. And because of that, that means that God can come sometimes into our lives in unexpected ways. And so what Palm Sunday reminds us of is that when you have those events that go in one direction, when you are hoping or expecting them to go in another direction, when you have the curveballs of life, well, Palm Sunday is a reminder to go to God in those times, to go to God in the unexpected moments of your life and to seek God in those times. It's a reminder that in faith, we are not in the driver's seat. No, God is in the driver's seat and we are simply asked to follow and to follow God wherever God leads. I believe that's one of the first things that comes from this story today, is to follow God wherever God leads. And the second is like it. Be prepared for the ways that God may move you out of your comfort zone. Palm Sunday is a reminder that God may ask us to step out in faith in ways that we're not completely 100% comfortable. Maybe that means talking with your neighbor or friend about faith, even though you've been avoiding that conversation. Or perhaps that means stepping out of your comfort zone and reconciling with someone that you're truly angry with. Or perhaps that means saying yes to something that God has placed on your heart that you've been silently ignoring for a while. What does it look like for you to step out of your comfort zone and respond to what God is doing in your life, even if it's something unexpected? Well, my prayer for you this Palm Sunday is to open your heart to whatever God is doing in your life and follow God wherever God may lead. Amen.